All right, so I don't have all the announcements in front of me. I was asked to fill in for preaching tonight and then found out that I was song leading too. So that was added extra bonus. But anyways, Pastor, I think we'll be back on Sunday. From what I understand, he's just gone tonight. So don't judge anything based on what I say about this church, but just feel free to come back. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 12. We're just going to use this verse as kind of a springboard tonight. Isaiah chapter 12, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 12. All right, and it says here, and this is God speaking, he says, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. We're going to take a look at this verse, but let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer again and just ask God to bless this thing. And so let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the refining that you do to us, Lord. And I promise here that you will make us more precious than gold. And Lord, I just pray that you would use this message and the people that are here tonight, those that are listening over the live stream. And Lord, I just pray that your power would be in it, Lord, and pray it in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so it says here, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even the golden wedge of Ophir. And I want to talk here for a second about this gold, and really the point of this message is, how is God going to make us more precious than this gold that's mentioned here? How is God going to do that? And so let's talk about this gold for a second. First thing that came to mind from just having a conversation about gold with somebody that brought this up, the gold that we have today, it can't be made in a laboratory. It's not like created as time goes on. The gold that we have is the gold that was created in Genesis 1. That's the gold that we have. It's something that's precious. It's something that holds its value. I looked up the definition of the word precious, and it gave three different things. First one was that it's of great price. And there's a lot of things that we could say is of great price. If you're into chainsaws, you could look at a chainsaw, and you could say that's of great price, that big steel chainsaw. If you're into, cars, you can look at a car, and you can say that thing has a high value to you. But maybe that car doesn't have a high value to me. Maybe that chainsaw doesn't have the same value to you. But gold has value. All right, you can buy it, you can trade it. It keeps its value. It's there. It's of great price. All right, that's a monetary price. The second thing that it said for a definition of precious is that it's of great value, meaning it's valuable to everybody. All right, kind of hit on that already. And the third one was that it's highly valued. And I thought, well, that's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Highly valued. No, that highly valued means that it's much esteemed among everybody. It's not just something that one person says, I like this, or another person says, oh, that's of high value to me. It's something that everybody sees as valuable. And here in Isaiah 13:12, it says, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. And I took some time to look into this Ophir, and find out what it's meaning here, all right? Obviously, if the Bible says even the golden wedge of Ophir, there's got to be something to this place where this gold is from. And if you turn over to Job chapter 22, verse 24, you find that the gold of this place is plenteous. There's a lot of it here. It'd be easy to find gold in this land of Ophir. And I'm going to go to a couple more passages after this to kind of point that out, but just want to bring this out, this idea. Job 22, verse 24 says, Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. If you ever go and see a brook around here, they've got all those little stones in there. They're everywhere. There's a lot of them. And if you were to walk over to a brook and you were to see every single one was a golden nugget, that'd be a good place to go find some gold. All right, it's plenteous at this place. Look, if you would, at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This gold of Ophir was used for something very, very special. It was used for the temple of God, the temple that Solomon got to build. And if you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and iron for things of iron and wood." And it keeps going down, and jump to verse 4 if you would. And verse 4 says, "Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver." And so David went out and he gathered 3,000 talents of gold from this place called Ophir, specifically to designate it to the Lord. And I was looking up trying to figure out how much gold that would be. And the number that I found was roughly 113 tons of gold. All right, so it's plenteous. There's a lot of it here. And in the Bible, it was used, like I said, like it says here, for the temple of God. So 113 tons. That's 2,000 pounds for each ton. That's a lot of gold. Later, Solomon, he sends a fleet of people, his navy, to go get more gold from this place. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 9, 1 Kings chapter 9, I'm in 1 Chronicles. That's why it doesn't make sense. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 26. 1 Kings 9, 26. "And King Solomon made a navy of ships in Ezon-Geber, which is beside Eloth on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom." And verse 28, "And this navy, and they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold, 420 talents, and brought it to King Solomon." And so Solomon sent some people to this land, and they gathered a bunch of gold too, and that gold came out to be roughly 16 tons. All right, so there's a lot of gold at this place. It's a highly valuable place. All right, but yet God says, "I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." And so I began to think, how can God make us more precious than this gold? Yes, we can go and look at gold, and we can say that it's valuable, but one day, even the gold of this earth is going to pass away. And so how is God going to make us more precious than this gold? First point here, through the Word of God, 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." And you see, at this time, they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have, you know, just a book that they could open up and say, this is specifically from God. The priest might have had some scrolls and some things they could look through, but a specific word or vision from God was not happening in that time. All right, so it says here, it highlights, it says, "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days." And how precious was it? Well, let's keep going. Verse 2. "And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me." All right? And some of you guys know, most of us know how the story goes, right? Samuel goes before Eli and says, "I'm here," and Eli says, "No, go back to bed, I didn't call you." And it happens twice, and the second or third time, Eli says, "No, you're gonna have to say, when you hear that voice, Lord, here I am, thy servant, speak." All right? And so the Lord speaks to him. And verse 11, this is what the Lord says. All right? This is that thing that's precious, that's highlighted. Verse 11, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In the day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, When I begin, I will also when I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, and in the iniquity of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. All right, so that was the precious word. That was the precious word of the Lord right there. All right, something negative against Eli. And who's the person that hears it? Well, it's Samuel. All right, little Samuel, he was raised by Eli, and he's been in this house, and I'm sure he's got a good relationship with Eli. And he's there, and this is the word. This is the precious word. And it says that he laid till the morning. And verse 16, and Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I can imagine just being Samuel right now, kind of that fear and trembling, you know. You got to tell dad something. You got to tell somebody, you know, and you don't want to say it. And you know you have to say it, but you don't want to say it. And that battle's going on. And he's sitting there and he's thinking about it. And Eli says, tell me, what is it? All right. Verse 17, and he said, what is the thing which the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. And more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. This is Eli speaking. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And so even this evil report against Eli, he just had to say, whatever God says is good, that's what's good, that's what's right. All right? That's what was precious, all right, is what God said there. And sometimes God has something that's a judgment for us that we don't necessarily want to hear. But God said, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. And one of the ways that he's going to do that is through his truth, through his judgment. Look, if you would, at Psalms chapter 19, verse 9. Psalm chapter 19, verse 9. Psalm chapter 19, verse 9. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Just like what we read over there in 1 Samuel. The judgments of the Lord. Verse 11, it says, moreover... Verse 10. More to be desired are they than what? Gold. So how is God going to make us more precious than fine gold? Well, he's going to give us some judgments. He's going to give us his truth. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine what? Gold. All right, there it is. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So if God is going to make us more precious, he's going to do it through his word. We're going to have to take heed to that. All right, next thing that I've got here, I was looking into precious stones. Precious stones is another thing that God gives us to make us more precious. Precious stones are often found with gold and silver in the Bible. You'll read about that in a bunch of different places. For those of you taking notes, you can just write these down. I just had the first three references written down. It's 2 Chronicles 9, verse 1, and also 9 through 10. And also 2 Chronicles 32, verse 27. That's just a couple references. You can find all kinds of them. They're all over in the Bible, but precious stones often mentioned with gold and with silver. And precious stones is something that makes it into New Jerusalem, the new city of God. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 19. All right, these are the foundations of the city, of the wall of the city. It says in Revelation 21, verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedon, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth, the topaz, the tenth, if you can pronounce that, good for you, the 11th, the jacinth, the 12th, and amethyst. All right, so you got these 12 different precious stones that are part of the walls in New Jerusalem. All right, God sees these stones as precious, and that's why they're in the Bible as precious stones. And God wants us to earn some of these precious stones. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'll start reading in verse 10 in just a second. This passage has to do with the judgment seat of Christ, which is not a judgment that dictates whether you're saved, whether you're going to heaven, whether your sins are forgiven, but rather after you believe on Jesus Christ, after you ask him to save you, he has a judgment for the things that you do after that. And that is what this passage is pointing towards. All right, so 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, it says, "According to the grace of God given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And so these precious stones are something that can be given to you, something that you can earn. All right, it's something that's precious, and it's precious to God, and he wants you to have it. And I have written down here Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. And let's go ahead and turn there and look at that. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. And this one says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see it." And I know this passage specifically talks about gold that God is asking us to buy of him specifically. But that last passage talked about gold, silver, and precious stones. All three of those were tied together. And here, Jesus is saying, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." And so if you buy of that gold, that's an eternal reward. That's something that's going to last forever. It ties right into what we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so God wants us to have these things. And that's one way that he will make us more precious than gold, because this gold that's mentioned in Isaiah 13 is a physical gold. All right, this golden wedge of Ophir, that's a physical gold that was used to build the temple. But God wants us to have these eternal rewards up in heaven. And the only way to have those is to serve him here. And that kind of goes into our very next point, which is precious trials. All right, precious trials. Look, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 1. Sometimes these trials are what earn you those rewards. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." There's a lot of good stuff in here. Verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible." All right, incorruptible is something that's eternal. "And undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of what? Gold. which that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. All right, so there's this substance, this thing that can be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And it's something that's far more precious than gold. All right, what is it? Well, it's enduring these temptations. All right, there's a lot of different things I could say about temptations. There's a temptation, I'm sure, tonight to not even come to church. Right? I mean, there's a temptation probably on Sunday not to come to church. There's temptations in the morning to just hit that snooze button, sleep a little longer, and skip your Bible reading. There's all kinds of temptations. There's temptations from the lust of the flesh. There's temptations with the pride of life. All that's there. It's temptations. But if you go through them, and you go through them God's way, and you handle it the way God wants you to, it actually becomes more precious than gold. All right, that's a trying of your faith. God sees that as something that's precious. Look, if you would, also 1 Peter chapter 4. We see another kind of trial here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." All right, so another thing, this would be like a persecution. Now, I know that we don't get very much persecution here in the United States, but anything that is set against you specifically because you're trying to serve Christ is a persecution. And God sees that as a valuable thing. He sees that as a precious thing. And he said in, like, I keep pointing back to this verse in Isaiah 13:12, "I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." And so let me ask you, with these trials and the things that you've gone through in the past, and there's bound to be more in the future, are you willing to let God make you into something that is more precious than fine gold? Trials. Trials come, trials go. All right, let's look at another thing here. Precious promises. Another way that God will make us more precious than fine gold is he'll give us his word. He'll give us a promise. And we can take that promise and we can claim it and we can actually use it for the Lord, and it can encourage us. And when it encourages us, it helps us to be more precious than fine gold. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." And so that first part of the verse, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Now, I can tell you this many times, something happens in life, and I sit there and I look at the situation, and I basically just say, well, I guess that's just the way it happened. All right, sometimes it's miracles, things that happen that there's no explanation for. And I look at it and go, okay, whatever. But if I look at it the way God wants me to, and I believe his promises, and I believe that he's actually working in my life, I can see clearly that God is precious. But only when I believe. Only when I believe, that's it. There's a coworker of mine that I've been working with, and this week we were just talking about some different things. He was trying to get promoted a couple months back, and I told him, "Well, I'll pray about that for you." And that answer came back as a no, that he wasn't going to get this promotion. And you know, nothing really came up. It was like, okay, well, that's interesting. And then an engineering position popped up, and he's like, "I'm going to apply for that." And I said, "Well, great, I'll pray for you on that." And I prayed for him on it, and it looks like he's going to get the position. We still don't know for sure, but it looks like it. And we were just talking about a couple different things, and I believe the Lord put me there so that way I could witness to this guy. I just believe it. And I was talking to him, and I was like, well, okay, here's kind of, we're talking about how I got the job there at Symbotic and some different things. And I said, so back in October of last year, I said, I saw the position open up, and I applied for it. And I said, but they didn't hire me, and the most likely reason is because I was getting married, and I was planning to be gone for a month. And so, you know, that just probably is the reason why they didn't hire me, because I was going to be gone for a month. And he said, oh, okay. And I said, that's when they hired you, right? And he said, yeah, that's when they hired me. I'm like, all right, that's cool. So then I kept telling him about my story a little bit. And then he stopped and he goes, wait. He said, so you're telling me that if you didn't get married, I probably wouldn't have this job? And he's like, I was like, well, maybe, possibly. And he goes, and if I had gotten that other promotion, I wouldn't be able to get this engineering position. I was like, yeah, that's for sure, because they would lock you in for a year in that position. He's like, wow. And he started to think about it, and I could tell his gears were turning in his mind a little bit. And that's when the Lord was kind of like, okay, look, I have you here for a reason, and you know, just you saying that you're going to pray about this and then talking to him about it opened up the door to him kind of being a little bit more just pondering about the reality of if God was working through that or not. And so, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. All right, so do you believe? Do you believe? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm willing to say most here tonight have that like precious faith. And if you jump down to verse 4, it says, actually, let's read verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so everything that applies to or pertains to life and to godliness, God has given to us, and the knowledge of that is right here. And verse 4 says, whereby, all right, whereby those things of knowledge, the things that pertain to everything of this life from God, says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so God gives us an escape from these things, but it comes from these great and precious promises. And I'm sure you all have some of those great and precious promises, but I want to just tell you a few of mine. All right, a few things that God's promised, and they're in his word, and I'm claiming them. And the first one I got here is John 14, verse 3. It says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. All right. I know for sure that God is going to come back. He's going to take me up. And he's preparing a place for me. Right, I'm not just going to be in heaven with like nothing to do. Right, he's got a place for me. He's got a purpose for me. All right. That's a promise, and I'm going to claim it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 it says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And whatever God calls me and asks me to do, I know for sure he's going to be there to support me. He's going to be there to give me exactly what I need to fulfill what he calls me to do. And he'll do the same for you. It's a promise. It's in his word. All right, I'm claiming it. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. All right? It's a promise. God is going to direct my path if I just acknowledge him in everything that I do. And he'll direct you too. All right? It's a promise. You've got to claim it. Isaiah 46, 9. God says in there that I am the Lord thy God and there is none else. I'm so glad I don't have to go figure out, hey, who is this other God that I'm supposed to serve, you know, with my God? Who am I supposed to go and give account to? Who am I supposed to go and listen to, you know, in addition to my God? There isn't any. It's just one. All right? It's just God up in heaven. That's it. All right? I'm claiming it. That's a promise. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. All right? I know that I have eternal life. I know for a fact that if I am to die tonight, I'm going to heaven. All right, there's no question about it. It's in God's words. It's a promise. All right, claim it. All right, another one, Romans 6, verse 11 and 14. I can't remember them right now, but let's go ahead and turn there. Romans chapter 6. I think it's verse 14 that I want. Yeah. Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." I know for a fact that sin doesn't have dominion over me. If I listen to God's word, if I do exactly what it says, sin does not have any dominion over me. All right, so that's a promise. I'm going to claim it. All right, anybody else out there have a precious promise they want to share? Anybody? Yes. He'll never leave me nor forsake. That's a good one. Anybody else? Walt? That's right. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord for that one. Tim? That's a good one too. Praise the Lord for that. Anybody else? All right. A lot of good promises in there. Let's make sure that we take some time to look those up and maybe even just revisit the ones that God has given us, the ones that have been big in our lives, and just see how precious they really are. If you let them slide, you let them get away from you, you kind of just, they get put in the background of your mind and they kind of disappear. So just a good idea to revisit those every once in a while. So turn, if you would, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 12. And then we will be finished here. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 12. All right, and everybody gets to say this with me. I do this with the junior church kids. They have a lot of fun. So let's just make it fun, all right? We got some extra time here. All right, let's see if we can get this verse memorized by the end of the night. All right, and this is how we do it, all right? This is how we do it, okay? So read it with me, all right? Isaiah 13, verse 12. I will make, all right, you guys got to say it with me. All right, let's go again. All right, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. All right, now this is where we get a little more fun with it. Try and get you know, junior church kids, you got to get them entertained a little bit. So this is where everybody starts to use their high-pitched voices. All right, so use your high-pitched voice and say the verse with me. All right, let's do this. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. All right, that was pretty good. Now what I normally do is I tell them, okay, let's drop it down a few octaves. Let's do it in a low voice, as low as we can go. Ready? Let's do it again. Ready? I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. And then from there, we get really crazy, okay? Have you ever watched Finding Nemo? All right. Then there's this whale voice, right? You kind of, you know, throw some accents in there. All right. So for those of you that have seen that, let's just try it, okay? All right. All together. Say it with me. I will make a man more precious than fine gold. All right. Even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. All right, so now that you all got that down, all right, without looking at your Bible, let's just see if we can say it, okay? Isaiah 13, 12. I will make a man more precious than gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. All right, I would normally have to do that a few more times with them, so good job, everybody, trying that out with me. Good participation there. So, precious. All right, I will make a man more precious than gold. All right, are you willing to let God make you more precious than gold? All right, that's what I got for the message there. Let's go ahead and get ready for some prayer requests here.